Church say amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful for your blessings of life, for watching over us on last night, allowing us to sleep in slumber and wake up to see a new day. One wasn't promised to us. We are thankful for your many blessings of life. We pray you would be with us this morning as we study your word, that we may be able to look into the mirror and see ourselves. Help us to focus on self, the importance of our own spiritual development, spiritual well-being. We thank you for Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. We thank you for sending your Son, and we ask you to please forgive us of sins. In his name today, as we worship you in spirit and in truth. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good morning. It is good to be back in the house of God on this morning and see a good crowd this morning. Good to see each of you here, and we are just thankful to God for blessing all of us. And want to say to those who are here, not members of the Church of Christ, you are a very distinguished guest of the audience. You are our VIPs. You're very important people to us. We want you to know what we believe and why we believe it. We want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. For we believe that the Bible itself is right. And the Bible is the roadmap to heaven, and we're going to get to heaven. We have to do it the way God has said do it. So we thank you for being with us this morning. Pray you brought your Bible with you. You will need your Bible when you come study with us. Amen. I want to say to the McCutcheon families, sister, all those who supported Sister McCutcheon, it's a great loss to our family here. Brother McCutcheon was a faithful man of God, and we need to rally around her, and not just her, but the ward has lost another brother. That's two back to back. Certainly we need to be here for him. Brother Raul Turner lost his father, and others have lost loved ones recently. There's something about losing someone that leaves a void that no one can fill. But as children of God, we can be there for them. We can help them. We can comfort them. Because those of us who have lost loved ones understand what it feels like. So let's be there for them and pray for them. My wife is back in the audience today. Amen. Good to have her back with us. Been in the hospital fighting for her health, and we appreciate the prayers. We appreciate prayers because we know prayer changes things. Amen. We will do what we got to do, take care of her. You pray for us. That's what we need. I've been preaching 2 weeks straight now. You can hear it in my voice. So I'm going to go easy this morning. We did a studio meeting outdoors this week under the tree. Isn't that something? And the ministerial students did a great job. Amen. We appreciate you all coming to support us as we raise up young preachers, developing them, and kind of taking the Marshall Keeble model, where I take them with me and let them preach before I go to develop them. And to show them I'm in support of their preaching. So I appreciate those who came out and supported us. Please encourage these young men as they develop to be spiritual men of God. We have a lot of our young men we're losing to the prisons and to the jails, to the streets, and unfortunately to the graves. But these men we're raising up, hopefully we can keep them out of prison, out of jail, and out of the grave at an early age. Off the drugs and off the streets. Let's work together to develop these young men. Amen. I'm proud to announce my new book is out with the 21st Century Christian study of the book of James, looking into the mirror, looking at the man in the mirror. And I understand my Life Without God, study of Ecclesiastes, was the number one seller among African-American writers. I hope you're proud of me. As I send spiritual material out to other people. congregations of the Churches of Christ are using these in their Bible studies, outdoor Bible studies, and young adults. I'm very thankful that God has let me support spiritual development and spiritual growth of spiritual people. And so it's not about anything other than trying to help people get to heaven. So I'm not looking for a pat on the back. Just want to say to Holland Heights, we're in a good place. We're doing some great things. Let's just stay positive and focused on self. And that's what I want to do, looking at the man in the mirror, just some excerpts from the book of James to give us some thoughts on how we can take an introspective look at self. And the thought comes from James chapter 1, and the verse is number 22. The Bible says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if any be a hearer of the word,
and not a doer,
he is likened unto a man,
beholding his natural face,
in a glass," that's a mirror, "and for he beholding himself,
and goeth his way,
and straightway
forget
what manner
of man he was."
The word of God is the mirror for you to look at self. It's the mirror for all of us to take a look at self. But when we look in this mirror, we can't ignore what the mirror is telling us. Looking at the man in the mirror, you got to look at you and not at others. It's easy to point a finger at what other people are doing wrong. But it seems to be harder for us to say, you know what, I'm wrong. Or I need to do better. Or I could have done that differently. It takes humility to look at self. It's easy to point the finger at other people. Amen. When you study the book of James, the Bible is telling us that we are to take a look at self. So this morning, count it all joy, the first chapter. This book is written by James around AD 44 through 49, somewhere in Jerusalem and the surrounding territories. James is the brother of John, of Jesus. We know that from Josephus and others who have told us who he was. And so it's obvious to us all that there's a need to have joy in this life. And counting all joy doesn't mean you won't cry. Joy is a state of delight and well-being that is a result of knowing and having a relationship with God. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, from a dungeon, from a prison cell, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." He had an inner peace that can only come from having a relationship with God. It is obvious to us all that one of the things this world will take from you is joy. It steals our joy if we don't understand joy. Trials and tribulations, as we go through them, will take away our joy. But believe this, that the word of God will keep you filled with joy if you take a look in the mirror. In James 1 and verse 1, let's look at a few passages this morning. "A servant of God
and of the Lord Jesus Christ,
and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the
12 tribes
which are scattered abroad,
greeting."
Greeting. The beginning of having joy is to be able to say, like James, "I am a servant of God." Amen. James was a servant. But listen carefully. You're servants to whom you obey. Romans chapter 6. And the verses number 16, The Bible teaches us this. In Romans 6:16, the Bible says what?
Know ye not? That to whom ye yield yourselves.
To whom you yield yourself
servants. To obey.
To obey.
His servants.
His servants you are.
To whom you
obey. To whom you obey. Read.
Whether of sin. Unto death.
Unto death.
Or of obedience.
Or obedience.
Unto righteousness.
Unto righteousness. Sin unto death. Sin unto death. Is something that we all got to be aware of. And you are servants to whom you obey. Here's spiritual death, how it looks. Spiritual death looks like this. When sins are in your life, that's spiritual death because you are separated from God. So if you don't do what you have to do, if you don't obey God's word, you cannot be a servant of God. The devil is the father of lies. You're servants to whom you obey. You can't be in the middle. Serve God and the devil. You're servants to whom you obey. If you have not obeyed the gospel, if you have not been born of the water and of the spirit, my friend, you have not obeyed God. Therefore, you can't have the joy that I'll speak about on this morning. You have to get that sin out of your life. And you have to live a life to keep the sin out of your life. I'm going to tell you how to get the sin out of your life. But understand this. When God is not in your life, you live in a life that's meaningless. It has no meaning. Vanity, says the preacher. All is meaningless. Your state of spiritual well-being is compromised because you haven't obeyed God. But when you obey God, you are then freed from sin. And when you're freed from sin, then you become the servant of righteousness. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But he turns his face against them that do evil. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? Your servants to whom you obey. If you don't obey God, then you will never be his servant. You have to obey God. That happens when you're baptized. Baptism is the beginning of obedience to God. Jesus gave the command in Mark 16, 15 and 16. Go in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you have not been baptized, you are not a servant of God. Secondly, you understand, just because you were baptized doesn't mean you've obeyed truth. There's only one true baptism. And the one true baptism is managed by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit, are we all baptized into one body or one church? So if you're not in one church, then you didn't get the one baptism because the Spirit manages that baptism. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? Real clear. According to the Bible, according to the mirror, the saved are in the one church. And the one church is the church of Christ. That's the only one in this book. So now, it's my prayer that you will leave a member of the Lord's church, a servant of Jesus Christ. But remember, if you don't obey God, you can't be considered a servant of God. My brethren, verse 2, count it all joy
when you fall
into
diverse temptations.
Diverse of various trials. That word, temptation, is the same as trials when it's translated. When you fall into various different trials, James is saying you count that as joy. What is he telling us? Only when you are a child of God can you count a trial with joy. Now, it seems difficult, But with God on your side, all things are possible. When you are a child of God, only then can you count it joy when you fall into these various trials and tests and troubles. Trials in the church house. Trials on the job. Trials in the community. Trials in your marriages. Tests. Trials in relationships. Financial. Situational things. All of us got some things that we're going through, amen. All of us are dealing with sicknesses in our bodies or someone we love, bereavement, losses. All these are trials. Trials dark on every hand. We may not understand how God gonna lead us to that blessed promised land. We gonna have trials. We're gonna have them in this life. And what James is teaching us, when you know God, you can count the trial as a joy. He said, verse 3, knowing this.
That the trying of your faith.
What's being tried? Your faith. The trying of your faith has a purpose. And that is it worketh
patience.
Why patience? Because patience, we have to have patience to endure the trial or to persevere the trial. It creates an attitude that no matter what trial I face, as a child of God, my attitude is that I operate by faith. So my faith says, wait on God. I go to that again. My faith say, when God hand the trial, faith say, wait on God. You say, Brother Brooks, it's severe. That's why persevere is in play. You got to persevere what's severe. Trials that are severe are intended to increase our faith. When our spirit is in aligned with God's spirit, then when the trial comes, I don't fall apart. My attitude is, God gave it, God give, and God take it. Y'all heard that before. The Lord give it, and the Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's Job. Don't y'all remember him? Naked I came. Naked I'm going to return. The Lord gave to me, and the Lord took from me. Blessed is the name of the Lord. What's my attitude as a child of God? No matter the trial, no matter the test, I can wait on God. I can depend on God. I can ask God for help. I can pray more to God. The trial gonna bring me in a closer relationship with God. Sometimes God will send you through some trials that'll work your patience because God says you need more patience. Looking at the man in the mirror. We like microwave responses from God. Put it in the microwave, 1 minute later it's ready. God is not a microwave God. He's on his own time. You don't turn him up, turn him down. Sometimes, even in the church, we want to rush God. Wait on God. Then he says, let patience
have her.
Now that key word, let, gives you a choice. You let patience have her perfect work. Patience. When you let patience have a perfect work, what you're doing is letting you let God do what he gonna do with her, which is patience, to mature you. That's perfect work. Maturity. Some of us are immature, And God put trials in our lives to help us get stronger. Let waiting on God during your trial give you the strength you need. Let depending on God make you stronger. Let patience make you pray more. When you waiting, you pray. When you waiting on God, you stay close to him. When you waiting on God, you let God work in your life because you're letting patience have her perfect work. That you may be perfect and mature.
And entire. Wanting nothing.
All of this God is doing to mature us in our faith. Waiting make you want for nothing because you believe that no matter what the outcome is, it was good for me. How you say that, Brother Brooks? I just lost my husband. I just lost a brother. I just lost my wife, my mother. How could that be to my good? How could that be when my friend was murdered? Think about last night. Five babies, five children, three adults murdered right here in Houston. National news. The man killed five children. Oh my goodness. Who in the world could count that as joy? How could we do that? The Bible teaches us in Romans 8 and in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. Notice who it's to. To them
that love God.
That love God and are called according
to his
purpose. See, when Jesus, God calls us, he calls us when he lifts up Christ on the cross. Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. And when Christ go up on the cross and you see him with nails in his hands and in his feet, when you see him hanging 6 long hours for you, when you see a father who so loved you that he would watch his child die in pain and shame for you, then God says, I call you by the gospel, the good news that I so loved you and I called you for a purpose. So whatever going on in your life, once you answer the gospel call, then God says, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. What do God use in the life? He used earthen vessels, men and women like us. He used for his purpose. So he said, whatever I've seen in your life, when I send a trial, know this, that I send it for your good. That's God talking. He only speaks to his children. And when you answer the call, you just say, I know. I don't know why necessarily God is sending me through this. But I know who. I may not know why, but I know who. And the same who that put me into the trial is the who that would deliver me from the trial. Because I know my hope is in the who. The one who has the power to control life. It is him that I trust in. If James says, if any of you lack wisdom,
let him ask of God.
Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth it not, and it shall be given him. How many of us need to make more wise decisions? Wiser decisions. Many people have not made good decisions. If you leave here today and you have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, knowing you're spiritually separated from God and God has done everything, that's not a wise decision. It's a wise decision to be a child of God. You need to be a child of God. Because surely troubles are coming. Surely trials you will face. Surely you can't exempt, you're not exempt from death. All of us going to die.
Amen.
See, he said, well, if you lack wisdom, you ask God. Lord, I need wisdom in my day-to-day life, my day-to-day decisions. I need wisdom in my fight to save my soul. That's what I talked about yesterday at the funeral. What fight do we win? There's one fight you don't want to lose. It's the soul. It's the fight to save your soul. And I look at myself sometimes. How little things you let get to you and put your soul at risk. It don't make sense. When I can say simply, forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm human. I made a mistake. It's my fault. Take the blame. Take the low road. Leave everything else alone because it ain't worth it.
Amen.
It's not worth the fight. That's where I am in my life. That's where I am in my spiritual life. That's where I am personally. It ain't worth it. I'll say to anyone in here, if I have offended you, you owe me forgiveness. Because I'm asking. And that should settle anything. As spiritual men and women of God, we use wisdom and we exercise wisdom. And we ask God, God, what to do? He says, hey, if you need wisdom, ask me, and I'll give it to you liberally, freely. Just ask. How many of y'all asked for wisdom lately? I think it's worthy in your prayer. Y'all include it in your prayer after this lesson. Lord, give me wisdom. Teach me how to fight. But he said, now James said, now if you go ask, here's how you ask. Ask in faith.
Nothing wavering.
Now, this is the key to our joy. We ask God for whatever we want in faith. If we don't believe that God can do it, if we don't believe in God, we don't have the faith in God that God can bring us through whatever it is, he can give us the wisdom to manage through it, then we are doubting him. And then that would never work. Because he says,
for he that wavereth,
this man is wavering.
Is like a wave.
He's like a wave
of the sea.
Of the sea.
Driven with the wind.
Like this. Just tossed to it up and down, in and out of depression. What are we saying? When you have no stability in your faith, you fall apart when trials come. Have you ever taken some nerve pills when you just got shook up? Huh? Yeah, you have. Y'all ain't gonna admit it. But here's a nerve pill. See, when we trust in God, our faith is 100%. In other words, I'm saying we have total faith in the God we serve. And what the devil would like to do is rob us of our faith. If he can get us doubting and questioning, God, he got us. Because God said, if you're going to ask for something from me, you ask it in faith. And you have stability. He said, for let not that man that asks, that's wavering, think that he shifts.
Look what God said.
He going to get anything
of the Lord.
You won't get anything. A dual thinking man, a double-minded man is unstable
in all his ways.
At some point in your spiritual development, you got to stabilize. You got to get to where you have dual thoughts, dual thinking. Your focus must be seek ye first the kingdom, that's singular minded. We're not double minded in and out of church, in and out of relationships, in today, out tomorrow. Come here this week, go on next week. Faith ain't stabilized yet. Understand, to be spiritual, you got to put God first. Some of you ain't stabilized on the importance of worship in morning and evening. You think it's okay. So you got one thinking in the morning, another thinking in the evening. That's double-minded. That's double-minded. Either God is number one on Sunday for you or he's not. You got to stop dual thinking. Sunday, the first day of the week, I will put God first. Amen. Every day of the week, you'll put him first. Amen. Sunday is commanded as a day of worship. And certainly, you have opportunity to be here, AM service, Bible class, and evening services for your spiritual well-being. At some point, brothers and sisters, you have to stabilize in your belief. You can't be tossed to and fro by everyone in the doctrine. What do you believe? Do you believe this is right or not? You believe this book is right? Do you believe in the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, the one God, the one church? Or you say, well, I see it, but I can't see the one church. You don't have a belief system. Your belief system cannot be based on this. Because if your belief system is based on this, the only Savior you can believe in is Jesus. The only church you can read about and believe in is Church of Christ. You got to stabilize, where is your belief coming from? Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen. We don't preach one church to be mean. We preach it as a faith statement. It is what we believe based on what we read. If we believe it based on what we read, we can't go wrong. If we believe it based on what we think, we can be wrong anytime. That's good preaching, Brother Brooks. Kind of like it myself. I'm stabilized in my belief. I've often said this, some of y'all may have never heard it, but I'm giving my wife instructions. If something go wrong in my mind and I start saying I don't believe in the Church of Christ no more, she can just go on and take me to whatever floor the mental people are on, because my mind I went bad. My mind is bad at that point. I'm so serious, as the kids would say. I am so serious. I am so much in belief of 100% of this book that baptism is essential for salvation. If I start saying baptism is not essential, I'm crazy. Something wrong with me. If I start telling y'all you don't have to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday, y'all can go ahead and get somebody else to preach, because Brother Brooks went cuckoo. Is that a good word? I don't know. Yeah. But my point is, what do we believe? Where did it come from? And I would say to my visiting friends, What do you believe? Are you like me? When I was growing up, had a faith that was handed down, a trusted belief from mom and dad who were good people. But it didn't come from the Bible. You got to look in the mirror. You got to say, what I believe ain't in the mirror. It's not in there. It's not in the book. And now you got to think, when you look at yourself in the mirror, it's saying, you are not saved, because your belief is not according to the faith. The faith comes from the book. If you can't find the church you're in this book, you can't see in the mirror. You ain't saved. Because according to this book, the saved are in the one church. You got to see it. But when you stabilize and you obey God, you become a servant, you start believing 100% in the power of God then. It's no longer what I'm going to believe about salvation. It's in the power of God. And when I believe in the power of God, I can stabilize. And no matter what the situation is, no matter what trial, no matter what tribulation, no matter what test it is, I can do what James said. I count it all joy. Amen. Because I looked at the man in the mirror, and I saw nobody but me and my God, because the mirror is God. This is the very breath of God. When you read this book, it's God's breath in your face. That's why it says inspiration. Or God breathed in some translations. When you're looking, God is talking. When you're looking and you can see self, God can help you. But when you're looking and you see me, God can't help you. You got to see you. And you got to hear God talking to you. Somebody in here need this. You need it to move on. You need it for your second chance. You need to look in this mirror for your new beginning. You need God.
Then you say, Brother Brooks, what should I be doing? Stabilizing. Stabilizing your faith. Stabilizing your faith. You can't look in the mirror and just walk away like ain't nothing, ain't said nothing to you. You got to read the word of God and you got to start stabilizing. You stabilize by being more faithful. When you come here on Sunday morning, this is a study session. This is a look in the mirror. You can't teach yourself. God designed this for you to be taught. You stabilize your faith by coming to a spiritual place where education, spiritual education, is being administered. And that's what we do. We educate you. God gave you teachers, evangelists. My charge is to preach the word. No man can come to God who has not been taught. And when you're taught, you learn what to do. The reason you're unstable is the same reason you wouldn't have got a high school diploma. You missed too many classes. Let me get it down here. We can get it then. You know you had to at least have a D. You know, some boy skated through. I was happy with a C. As long as I can get out, walk across the stage. All I wanted was my gown, cap and gown. Is that right? Yeah, well, that's me. Some of you 4.0 students, you're a little C student like me. But I find out later, I could have been an A student if I'd wanted to. Not because God didn't give me what I needed. It's because I didn't want to put forth the effort. And that's like some of you. That's what I'm saying. Some of you just D and F students when it comes to the Bible. Because you don't come to class. You skip class every other week. Then you talk about your kids. Why are you skipping school? Well, why you skip Sunday school? If they were smart, they'd shoot that back at you. You skip every Sunday? I ain't giving you kids no ticket to talk back to your mom. Somebody looking for something wrong. They said, Brother Book told them. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. I didn't say that like that. But that would be a good point. But say it in love. Say, Mama, don't you skip? I love you. Say it in love. And say, well, we ain't skipping. And Mama said, well, you know what? You're right, but we ain't skipping no more. Because I'm going to be your example. So today at 11 o'clock, let's see if she skipped. Bible class started 11 here, right? Praise God. I'm closing. Boy, this is good, isn't it? See, when you stabilize, though, boy, this is helping me. When we stabilize, we are in a position to let God do some powerful things. God can use us in a powerful way when we're stable. When we're stable in our faith. James said, notice he said, let the brother of low degree rejoice
in that he is exalted.
Now, many have sought higher education, PhDs, degrees, master degrees. All them degrees, high school degrees, all these degrees, college degrees. But James put emphasis on a different degree. A low degree. Only a low degree will get you into heaven. A PhD ain't no ticket. A master degree ain't no ticket. But you want a degree to get to heaven? You got to go low. This means you stay humble. This means you stay, take the low road. Let them walk on you. You got to be the floor mat.
And when they want to walk on you, you got to lay there and take it. And say, you know what, you're walking now, but God, if God be for me. If God be for me, you walking on me now. But if God be for us, you just a who. And God will deal with the who. But I got to be the man. I got to go low and let God bring me up. In due time, God will do the exalting. We must stay humble. As brothers and sisters in Christ, because of who we are, we are children of the Most High God. James said, but the rich, and that he's made low. God can bring us down. He can make us low. God can bring you to your knees. It's the rock. It's the story I tell. Little boy pushing his brother in a wheelchair. Wheelchair topples over in the ditch. Little boy start trying to get his brother out the ditch. He can't get him out. Start throwing rocks. Nobody stops. He's throwing rocks at cars. But then he pick up a brick. And when he picked the brick up, he hit a car passing by. And when he hit him with the brick, he stops. And he backs up. Said, why you hit my car with that brick? He said, sir, I've been throwing rocks all day. No one will stop. See, God done been throwing rocks in your life. But there will be a brick that will bring you to your knees. Be careful about elevating yourself. Understand, God can bring you down. Anybody been hit with a brick? God brought you to your knees. He been trying to get your attention. But when that death call came, you broke down. It's rich. He's talking about rich people. All of us rich in some ways. We think of rich, man, I ain't got no $1 million, so he ain't talking about me. You got some folk who don't have a place to lay their head. You got a big old fancy house with AC unit on it. And it's on right now, burning juice. Because you want to be cool when you go back, but you go, we poor. You ain't poor. You don't know what poor is. Eating good, you can tell by your weight that you ain't poor. That's why we recommend lentil diet, like I had to get on sometimes. Yeah, amen. Now look at it as we close. But the rich, in that he's made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withered the grass, and the flower thereof faded, and the grace of the fashion of it perished. So also shall the rich
man fade away.
Man, he's just saying, oh, rich and poor both die. Life ain't going to last forever, y'all. So don't get caught up in chasing the riches of this life. Because the rich man die, no matter how rich Trump is, he's going to die one day. Yeah, and I'm not promoting presidents and candidacy, but he's a rich man. But I'm saying, it don't matter who it is. Rich and poor people both go to the same place. That's to the graveyard. Some might have a fancy casket, but it ain't hip in the soul. And you know, if you get too fancy when they put you in the casket, the undertaker got that thing figured out. They wait all the family leave, take you out of that expensive casket, put you in one of them cheap ones, bury you in there, take them and sell it to somebody else. Some other rich fool. Yeah. Take all the jewelry off of you. Just wait. You know people out there ain't gonna just cover that thing up until they see y'all gone. Say, we want to respect the family. I know. Yeah, you sure do. You're trying to get to that jewelry you live on. God, they looking at you, man, she got some diamond around her neck. You see that? I see it. Just wait. So anyway, back to the serious part. We have to stop thinking that we can do this on our own. We have to know, y'all, that we need God. And when I look in the mirror, when you look in it this morning, ask yourself, is God saying to you, you need me in your life? You need me with what you're going through. You can't count it joy until you obey me. You need to obey me. And when you obey me, then you count it all joy. Look at the man in the mirror, because James said, blessed is the man that endureth
temptation.
For when he is tried,
he shall receive the crown of life,
a crown of life that the Lord has promised to him
that love him.
If this man or woman endure, if they hold on, if they never give up, if they keep depending on God, if they stay with God, if they ask God for help, if they look at God during the trial, if you look in the mirror, God is saying, all you can say is I count it all joy, because one day I'm going to trade this earthly home for a better one, bright and fair. Christ left to prepare a mansion for his children in the air. We'll join him in that land where tears nor sorrows can be found. When I receive my mansion, my robe, and my crown, that's what I want. And James says, those who hold on, those who go endure, they will receive a crown of life that the Lord promised. And I want mine. How many of y'all want your crown?
Amen.
I want mine. That's why Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, they laid up for me a crown. But you know, we can't get our crown without remembering the crown Jesus wore. The crown he wore was a crown of thorns. He wore his crown, but he wore it that he may give us life eternally. He wore his crown, but he had to give his life in wearing his crown. We get eternal life by obeying him. And y'all know God loved you, don't you? He so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God sent his son into this world, not to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved. He came and lived among men, 33 years old thereabout, that yet they would take him to crucifixion. They would whip him with a whip that we may wear our crown. He took the whipping. He took the spit. He took the slapping. He took a fist hit in the face. He wore the crown of thorns. He carried his cross up a hill called Calvary. There he took the nail in the right hand and the nail in the left hand. He took them in his feet. He hung on the cross 6 hours on the cross. He hung wearing a crown of thorns. He hung while they mocked him, but he died for me. And I could hear him say, I'm dying so you can count it all joy. I know he died for me. I believe that he died for me. I believe he hung there, suffered for me. I preach him today because I believe in him. I honor him. I eulogize him every Sunday. I speak well of the deceased. I speak well of the one who died for my sins according to the scripture, and that took him down, buried him in a borrowed tomb. Early Sunday morning he got up, and because he lives, I can count it all joy. Because he got up, I can have a hope of eternal life. And when he got up, he said, go in the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You say, Brother Brick, why baptism? Because baptism is what washes away the sins. When we are baptized, there's a death, a burial, and a resurrection. And when we're buried in water. And then when we are under the water, according to Revelation 1:5, the blood that came out of the side, that blood then will wash your sins away. And when the blood washes your sins away, you're a child of God. Because what happens when you become a child of God, God is a spirit. And you receive the Holy Spirit. And you receive the Holy Spirit when you're at the cleansed state right here. You receive the Holy Spirit under water. And when you come up, you're a servant of the Almighty God. And then you're his child. And now you can pray to him. Amen. It's that simple. You say, Brother Brooke, I've been baptized, but I don't take the Lord's Supper every Sunday when you didn't get the right baptism. You didn't get the right baptism. You need to be baptized again. You must be baptized again. There's only one true baptism. It must be based on truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship him. Notice this. Must worship him in spirit and truth. There's only one church in the Bible. It's the church of Christ. And the saved are in that church. If you haven't been baptized and added to the body of Christ, you can't count it joy. You're going to have to face God. And Jesus said, there will be many that day will say unto him, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out devils in your name, and do many wonderful works? And he said, I'll tell you this. I never knew you. Why didn't he know you? Because you were spiritually separated from him the whole time. You died in your sins. John 8:21, Jesus said, where I am, you can't come. So what I want to appeal today, if you're here today and you're not a member of the church, I want you to come down. We got the clothes and the water and everything right here. The blood is in there. You got to stabilize. Step in there by faith, knowing that you can't see no blood. You didn't see Jesus either, by the way. You believe on him because of a book. And this book tells us that Revelation 1:5, the sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. Who want to be washed today? I want you to come, young man. I want you to come to be washed. Young lady, I want you to come to be washed. A mother, father, and the son or daughter, y'all need to come to be washed. We're getting ready to sing. But here's understand this. Trials are going to come. And maybe you're in a trial there. You just need prayer. We want you to come front. We want you to come down and let us pray what you want to pray for you and pray for you. And if you need to confess, come down. If you need to confess, you need to come. If you need prayer, come. If you need to be baptized, come. You hear the gospel. Number one, you believe it with all of your heart. Number two, number three, you must repent right where you are and say, I'm not leaving like I came. That's repentance. I'm leaving different. I'm going to leave forgiven. I'm going to leave ask forgiveness. I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to do what I got to do to get right with God today. And then you must make this confession, if you're not a child of God, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's found in Acts 8:37. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, if you confess me before men, I confess you before my Father. You deny me, I will deny you. Who going to deny him today? And after that, we will baptize you this morning. We want to know this. If you're coming, understand this. All of us got trials. All our trials that we're going through. You ought to be in a state of mind where I want to be able to say, I counted all joy because I looked at the man in the mirror. Would you come as together we stand and sing?
My trials,
come to him now.
All my care, I can tell them to
come to the Lord this morning.
Lord,
let him in your life.
And hear my burden there through the pain.
Who need the Lord this morning? Why would you come to him? Come to him. Who need prayer? Who going through trials? Who been having a hard week? Why wouldn't you come to God? Let him in your life. Let him in. Let him help you. Let him help you. Let him help you this morning. At the back. What about your trials? Come on. Come on. God bless you. Come on. Let him help you. You came for help. Let him help you. Don't stay. Stabilize your faith. Obey all the way at the back. Come. Come to the front. Don't let nothing stop you. Come to God. Come to him. Come be washed.
Through the pain.
Take a look. Take a look. Take a look in the mirror. What you see? What you see? What you see? Who gives you hope? Go ahead and sing with him now. Sing with him.
Come. He's still here.
wouldn't you come? Why wouldn't you come? Why wouldn't you come to him? Why wouldn't you come? Only, only.